Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 12 of chapter 2. And we're presently looking at verse 10, which says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." We're moving on in this verse. We're looking at the part of the verse that says, "Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And we have to wonder, well, what period of time is God speaking of? Now, we know that these are addresses to the angels of the seven churches. And as the Lord has spoken to each of the churches, he's mainly talking about positives and negatives that he sees in his people during the church age, the 1955 years which the church age consisted of, from 33 AD through 1988. And he has some very harsh, negative things to say, because during the church age, in the churches, there were wheat and tares growing together. But he also has some very positive, some good things to say due to the presence of his people, his elect. Well, we know that Satan was active in the congregations during the church age, during the time when he was bound, as the Bible does teach us that the devil was bound at the cross in 33 AD, and it tells us he was bound for 1,000 years. But again, that's a figurative period of time that just represents the entire church age. But even though Satan was bound, it did not mean that he was inactive. From what we read in these chapters of Revelation 2 and 3, and from what we can read elsewhere in the book of Acts, which much of it took place, or all of it took place after the cross, and therefore during the beginning of the church age, Satan was very active and in opposing the true gospel. And he was active in the churches and congregations of the world. So active that the end of verse 9 of Revelation chapter 2 spoke of those Jews who say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That is the church of Satan. He was overcoming churches early on by the method of sowing tares amongst the wheat, as the very revealing parable in Matthew 13 teaches us, that he was infiltrating the churches and congregations by having his people, individuals that were never saved and therefore still in the kingdom of darkness, in Satan's domain, having them enter into the churches as deacons or elders and so on. And that's why this doctrine of the Nicolaitans was such a problem, because God hated it due to the fact that since it was not a true doctrine, it was a lie, and Satan is the father of lies. It had its roots in him, and so he was active. So as we look at this verse in Revelation 2:10, where the Lord says, "Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Well, we understand that the number 10 can point to completeness. Actually, it practically always does. I won't say always, because they haven't checked out every single verse, but in many, many places, the number 10 points to completeness. And therefore, we have to look at the possibility that this is referring to the completeness of the church age, that the devil will somehow cast some of the Lord's people into prison in order that they be tried, and that will occur over 10 days or over the completeness of the church age. That's one way we can look at this. We can understand this that way. But there's another way, and that's to follow the way we've always come to understand Scripture, and that is by searching the Bible to find, can we find something that relates or identifies with this verse? Similar words, similar passages, similar ideas. And when we do that, we do find in the book of Daniel something that has a good deal of relationship to this verse in Revelation 2 verse 10. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. And in this chapter, Daniel and his friends are in Babylon and they have been taken captive out of Judea. Now, let's think about that. First of all, they have been taken captive. They are not there out of their own free will. Who took them captive? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar ultimately is the one that took them captive. He's the ruler of Babylon. He's the one that decided to assault Judea and to conquer it and to bring the Jews back captive and so on. And so Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are four young Jewish men in Babylon against their will. And well, why is that important? Well, that's important because remember Revelation 2 said, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Well, Babylon is a place of captivity, and that's exactly what a prison is. A prison is a place of captivity. And since a prison is a place of captivity, we can see how being held captive in Babylon can tie in with that verse or with the idea of being cast into prison. Now, the second thing is that it is the king of Babylon that ultimately brought Daniel and his friends to Babylon to be held captive. So we could say the king of Babylon cast them into prison. And again, well, all right, yes, we could say that, but how would that fit in to any understanding or tie in with the verse in Revelation 2? Well, once we realize that the king of Babylon is the one who has ultimately taken Daniel and all the Jews captive, or has made them prisoners, we remember that God likens the king of Babylon to Satan or the devil. It says in Isaiah chapter 14 in verse 4 that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. And then God begins speaking of other things, all within the context of that statement that the king of Babylon is spoken of in a parable. And as we read along, it says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Well, we don't have to read too far, and we see how this description of the king of Babylon fits Satan. And this is describing Satan's desire to be like God. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, it's very parallel language, where the man of sin takes his seat in the temple, showing himself he is God. And that's because Satan is typified by the king of Babylon. And when King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came against Judea spiritually, even though it was true historical events, God was using that assault as a picture of Satan's assault at the end of time, when he is loosed from his bondage, from being bound for that 1,000 years, to come against the churches and congregations to accomplish God's own purpose in bringing destruction to the New Testament church. So that's a second thing that relates and ties into Revelation 2 verse 10. Again, let me read that verse. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And here we find of Daniel and his friends in Daniel chapter 1. They have been cast into Babylon by the king of Babylon, or to put it another way, spiritually, Satan has cast them into prison. And it is a picture, spiritually, of the great tribulation, when the Lord has loosed Satan to come against the churches of the world as God is bringing judgment. Now that would be another relationship or tie-in, as it says back in Revelation 2:10, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now here it uses the word tribulation. And we know that tribulation is normative for the Christian. Throughout time, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, in the world ye will have tribulation. And therefore it could apply to the children of God during the church age. That's true. But also, there is a special program of God at the end of the church age, in which he will bring the judgment of the congregations, and he identifies that period of time as a little season of great tribulation. Now, sometimes God refers to the great tribulation simply as tribulation. In Matthew 24, it says in verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, tribulation is Strong's number 2347. It is the Greek word thalipsis. And when God uses the word great, it is megas thalipsis. But notice in verse 29 of this same chapter, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. And that's the same word, thalipsis. But God doesn't call it great tribulation here. He just says after the tribulation of those days. And he sometimes uses the word great, but he can use just the word tribulation. In Mark 13, in a parallel passage and verse, it says in verse 19, for in those days shall be affliction. Now this is Strong's 2347, the same Greek word, thalipsis. And it could be translated as tribulation rather than affliction, but the translators chose to translate as affliction. For in those days shall be affliction, or thalipsis, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. It's the same verse that we read in Matthew 24, verse 21, but the word megas is absent. God didn't include that word, yet he is speaking of the same period of time. Now, Revelation 2, verse 10, just uses the word tribulation or thalipsis. It's the same word, 2347, and It doesn't say great tribulation, but you shall have tribulation 10 days. That is, there will be a period of time in which tribulation will be completed, or there will be a completeness of tribulation. And yet this could apply to the great tribulation. Actually, God does speak of the great tribulation in one of the addresses to the churches in this same chapter in Revelation 2. It says to the church in Thyatira, let's start reading in verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So this does show us that God did warn the church, as he spoke to Thyatira, he was speaking to all the churches, the institution of the New Testament church as a whole, that if they were not obedient and faithful, they would be cast into great tribulation. And so I think we can understand Revelation 2:10 also, where God is providing a similar warning. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 1. We didn't really read anything from there, but let's turn to Daniel 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 9. And it says there, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Let me just explain a little bit that Daniel and his friends are Jews, and as Jews, they have a diet they must hold to. God commanded the Jews not to eat certain foods. And of course, now they're in Babylon, a Gentile nation, and they did not have that command, so they eat many things that a Jew cannot. So Daniel and his friends purposed in their heart they would not defile themselves with the portion of the king's meat or the wine which he drank. And they go to the prince of the eunuchs, who is favorable to Daniel, and ask him that they might not eat this food. And the prince of the eunuchs is troubled, and he's worried that his life will be in danger. Well, in verse 11 it says, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Now, let me just stop for a second. The word prove is also translated as try in some places in the Old Testament. And that is very interesting, because it could read, try thy servants 10 days. And in Revelation 2 verse 10, you remember, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. Well, here we have two more elements that match our verse. We now have a relationship with the idea of prison, since Daniel and his friends are not there willingly. They are held captive in Babylon. We have a match with the devil casting them into prison, as it was Nebuchadnezzar, a type and figure of the devil, who ultimately is responsible for casting these young men into Babylonian captivity. And we have a match for the idea of being proved or tested or tried for a period of 10 days. And, you know, we don't find this tie-in with anything else in the Bible. Fairly certain that God is instructing us through these connections that this is how we have to understand Revelation 2 verse 10. Prove thy certains, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And it continues on in verse 13. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. So we have several items that relate to our verse. And notice the concluding statement of Revelation 2 verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And certainly it was faithfulness that marked Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's desire not to eat of the king's meat. Actually, we could say it was faithfulness that marked their entire stay in Babylon. The completeness of their time in prison was marked by an outstanding desire and ability to perform faithfully to the commandments of God, or to keep God's commandments. It would not be much later when the three young Hebrews refuse to bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up and are cast into the fiery furnace. And it would not be much later that Daniel is recognized by the king for his constant faithfulness. And I think that with all of these connections, we can see how Revelation 2:10 is actually a verse in which God is declaring to the church what will happen once he comes to visit at the set time at the end of the church age and sees that they have not been faithful. And so he begins judging them, and he turns them over to Satan. And Satan, as a result of that action of God in using Satan as an instrument to judge the churches, he also uses Satan to try his people during the entire Great Tribulation period, as certainly that was a very trying period of time for the saints of God.